Hello, this is Lewis.
And this is Ian.
And welcome to our Christmas special of 101 Films You Should Have Seen.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas.
Ho, ho, ho.
Yes.
I'm feeling really in the Christmas spirit this year.
Good.
I'm really excited. Really what? Quite excited about Santa.
What happened last year?
I think it's because I was in India for...
Yeah, that'll do it, I guess.
Yeah, it was a little bit hot.
Yeah, no, me too. It's freezing cold outside. I've spent lots of money on stuff people won't really want.
It's a delicate art, isn't it? You've got to really make sure you buy something that they might smile and when they open it, but probably will put in a drawer and never use again.
I'm being on purpose cynical. That's very unlike me. I really love Christmas. I think we said this last week, didn't we?
Yeah.
The Nightmare Before Christmas podcast. Just how much we enjoy and appreciate Christmas. So we're going to be all Christmassy today.
Yay!
We're going to talk about Christmas films.
Christmas!
And because it's Christmas, one time a year, we're not even going to talk about films that only one of us has seen. Most of the films we're going to talk about today, we've both seen already.
I know.
It's madness.
Breaking with tradition.
But we're going to go for our favourites. We're going to talk about, other Christmas stuff. Whatever. Presents, trees,
yep.
Snow,
yep.
Robins. And and generally have an old Christmas laugh.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. So anyway, I thought we should explain what we've done now.
Rules.
We have to have rules for everything.
It's like an office Christmas party. Just relax, guys. There are certain rules everyone will have to follow, though.
Yeah, so, exactly. Basically, we designed these rules so everyone can have more fun.
Exactly. And no one has too much fun, if you know what I mean. So
anyway, we've chosen our top 10 favourite Christmas films, but we decided not to only include films that show the true meaning of Christmas.
Yeah, I think with an eye on next year's Christmas special, where we'll have the biggest hangers, we decided rather to do films like, I don't know, Gremlins or Die Hard, or The Apartment, which are, you know, set during the Christmas period, but aren't really about Christmas. And I think, as we said, for me, a proper Christmas film is where a main character realises the true meaning of Christmas. At the end, realises where she or he has been going wrong and needs to get back into the Christmas spirit.
An uplifting, schmaltzy Hollywood ending is what
definitely.
We're looking for.
Yeah, where at the end someone smiles and laughs and looks into someone's they love's eyes and first puts their arm around them.
Although I can think of at least one film on this list that isn't quite like that, but anyway, let's press on.
Presume we're both alive next year to do the other Christmas special.
What, we're doing it live?
No, alive.
Oh, alive. Yeah, if we're alive.
If we're not, if one of us is dead, Lou, if it's me that's dead, I want you to do the Christmas. I want you to carry on the blog without me. I want to carry on the podcast without me.
To be honest, it's probably more likely we'll just get bored of it halfway
through. Yeah.
We're like, should we just change the name to 50 films?
We'll probably take a 2-week break in the summer and never do it again.
That's it. You'll move away. That's
the moment
it.
I get a girlfriend, basically, I'll stop doing this.
And anyway.
If anyone out there is looking for a single man who... or a man. I don't know why I said single man. Yeah, I don't want, I don't want women interested in just affairs.
what about men? Are you interested in men?
Beggars can't be choosers, Lewis, especially at Christmas.
Anyway, moving on. So coming in at number 10 is...
We should have had a little Christmas... Beep.
I
could do that, couldn't I? Yeah, maybe there is.
Maybe
so,
there
yeah,
is.
Number yeah. 10.
So, coming at number 10 is the Tim Allen classic, The Santa Claus. Okay. Now, you're a bit anti this,
yes,
aren't you?
Straight away. Let's start this part of Christmas special by me bitterly arguing the point here. It's all right, but I was too old enough to ever think of it as a good Christmas film. It's okay, I guess. It's not the first one that I'll sit down with... a loved one at Christmas time to watch. You go, oh, brilliant. Santa Claus is on tonight.
I think I really wanted to put this on the list because it's the perfect film.
Big Tim Allen fan?
Well, big Tim Allen fan.
Who is it?
Did you know he was in prison for cocaine smuggling?
What, recently?
No. In the early 80s, he smuggled like a kilo of cocaine into Canada and was locked up.
Wow, really?
Yeah. He's bounced back.
Good
as Tim the Tool Man Taylor.
It's like, it's the bloke who played Dirty Den was put in prison for killing a cab driver.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Merry Christmas!
Merry Christmas, everyone. Anyway.
Perhaps bring that up next week. It's Christmas time. You might be getting the cab home from the office Christmas party. Perhaps just bring that up just randomly out of nowhere, just to see what the cab driver
yeah,
does.
Really scare the hell out of him. Yeah, I got put away for.
No, just like, once I was in a cab journey when I was in Canada, and we were going through Stanley Park, and it was really misty and cold and wet, and there was a couple of us in there. We'd only been in the country for about 2 or 3 weeks, and the cab driver just out of nowhere just said, "Some English people went missing around here, you know." Right. They go, "Never found." We're like, okay.
Did a wolf howl at that exact point?
No, it was Canada. A moose.
A moose.
A moose moosed.
Moose muled.
Yeah, is that what they do?
I've no idea.
I don't know. Anyway, so Santa Claus.
The Santa Claus, yeah. I put this on because it's the perfect film to put on 3 p.m. on a Christmas day. Your gran's fallen asleep. You're kind of half watching the TV and kind of reading a book at the same time. Your dad's drinking himself into a stupor.
Wow, Christmas at the Packwoods sounds a nightmare.
No, it's good. It's pleasant. So it's a perfect background Christmas Day movie.
Oh, okay. Yeah, it's okay. Yeah. Not one of my favourites, though.
Yeah. Anyway, right. Moving swiftly on.
Number nine.
Number nine is Santa Claus the Movie.
Santa Claus the Movie. Now, this is rubbish, isn't
no,
it, really?
It's great.
It's I liked it because I was a kiddie when I saw
it. Well, this
it.
Is
but
it.
It
this
is quite
thing.
Rubbish.
It's got Dudley Moore in it.
It's got Dudley Moore in it. There's lots of it. I like the bit where it's funny that the things that stick in your mind, don't they? Because it doesn't tell the story of how the origin basic story of Santa Claus is
yeah.
if he's a superhero.
Yes, it's yeah. very strange.
And the
he's like an immortal super being.
Yeah, because he dies, isn't he? Doesn't he get lost in the North Pole and he dies, and then they're kind of like the magic of Christmas brings him
something
back.
Like that. It's like a 14th century peasant or something that becomes yeah. Santa.
And I remember he's trying to, or the one bit that sticks is where he's like looking at, he's making his costume, and he's like, maybe I should have green or red. Let's go with the red, and that kind of stuff. Yeah, and then now Dudley it's Moore's like character goes to New York, doesn't he?
Yeah, that's right. I think he decides to go it on his own. He wants to prove that he can make great toys. So he goes and teams up with this evil toy-making executive played by John Lithgow. John Lithgow, Third Rock from the Sun?
Yeah.
Anyway. I think one of these specials, we're going to have to do a retrospective of John Lithgow's career.
Oh, we'll definitely do that.
Yeah.
Footloose? What else
I can't think
been?
Of any other John
Oh,
Lincoln
he's been
films.
In loads of stuff, hasn't he? Yes. Harry and the Hendersons.
Yeah.
That's the second. Again, that's the second time that's come up. Twilight Zone the Movie.
Oh, that's good.
He's good in that.
Yeah, that's good.
That's quite an interesting film generally to talk about as well. Oh, we might have to... The murder with the kids being killed in it. But...
Yeah, that was quite an odd one.
I can't tell you, we're covering some good subjects here in our Christmas special. Cab driver being murdered, the terrible death of some extras in a film.
John Lithgow. Anyway, Santa Claus, yeah, it's all right. I mean, it's not an amazing film, but I remember watching it as a kid and absolutely loving it. And I think just because of that, it should be on the list.
Well, it is on the list, so yeah, so well, stop arguing. That's fine.
I'm glad that's worked out well.
Good. Number eight. Come on, number eight.
Actually, before we do that, I've got a great idea for a Christmas movie.
Right, are we doing this quite early then?
Yeah, okay.
Wow, okay.
Are you going to bring out Kurt or is he retired? I think you were struggling last time.
Hang on, let me just see. It's the office Christmas party. Obviously, he's here along with John Lithgow. Who else comes up along in our conversations?
Tommy from Third Rock.
All my ex-girlfriends. They're all here.
Batman.
They're all here to celebrate. So, Kurt. Yep, boys. Merry Christmas, everyone at home. How are you, Lewis, in here? We're fine, thank you, Kurt. How are you?
Yeah, fine, Kurt. Hello. All right, how are you doing?
So, he's a bit drunk. He just stumbled back there. Come on, Kurt. All right, okay, come on, guys. Let's do this.
Okay, straight to the point. Really quick pitch.
Yeah, I love beer.
Okay, here's the idea.
Come on. Hey, come on, conga.
Oh, my God. Okay, I think he's... You've had enough, Kurt.
Okay, come on.
Okay, just quick one, right?
Yeah.
The idea, the dead celebrities save Christmas. The idea is that Hitler's ghost has captured Santa Claus, and so in order to save Christmas, two young children pray to the Lord Baby Jesus, and the Lord Baby Jesus sends a crack team of dead celebrities to come and save Christmas by... defeating Hitler's ghost and returning Santa Claus.
Yeah, it's blessed. And I won't have that on my Christmas day. But I won't have it. Whoa, he's gone. All right, Kate, sorry, Kurt.
What?
We had to pull him away. He was getting a bit angry.
I don't think he liked that
one. Oh, there's an argument to the back there. Come on.
I think he's chatting up Sally from Third Rock. It's not a sight to see.
Strangely unattractive, attractive woman.
I know. She's Amazonian, I think is the word.
Yeah.
I didn't get to list all my celebrities. I had this great team. It was going to be Elvis, Thora Hird, and Eric Morecambe.
Yeah, I mean, he wouldn't know who Thora Hird was.
Yeah, that's true. It's a
bit... Or Eric Morgan.
Yeah, okay. Maybe not the best one.
No. If we should have done it later. I feel we haven't warmed ourselves up enough.
I was going to have Harry Secombe in it as well.
Harry Secombe? Would he be like... who's the one who used sound in the X-Men?
sound?
Yeah, he had like a bit loud voice. What was his name?
I have no
idea. He was
idea.
Scottish. Oh, well.
That was a great reference. Like, I'm really glad you brought that up.
I bet loads of people at home are going, oh, it's...
Blah, blah, blah.
He said it was something like Screecher or something.
Banshee.
Like
was Banshee? It Banshee?
Maybe Banshee?
It's Banshee.
Banshee? That would kind of make sense. Although, yeah, Scottish, Irish, yeah, Banshee.
Anyway.
Sounds more like a lady though, doesn't it?
Oh, God. I don't know. No, I don't think it's Banshee.
No, it wasn't Banshee. Oh, it doesn't matter. Okay,
this is the dullest conversation ever.
It's Christmas. Everyone's had a few too much to drink. Oh, they're dear. Just talking rubbish.
Right, you carry on.
Okay. Right, so what are we on? Number eight. And it's Home Alone. Oh, you're right.
Sorry, I'm just trying to... You asked me a question just as I was drinking some beer.
Home Alone. I think I may have seen Home Alone twice in the cinema.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. I think I went with my brother, and then I think a couple of friends of mine wanted to see it, so we went with them again. But one of the very few films in my life that I've seen twice. Can you guess what the other one is that I've gone to the cinema twice?
Jurassic Park.
No. You're never going to guess, but...
Okay, all right, tell me.
It was...
Oh, you can't even remember it.
American Pie 2.
American Pie 2.
Because I'd seen it with a friend, and then my girlfriend at the time... Like, pretty much demanded that I go with her to see it because she would never want to see it with, so I had to go and see it again. So
was it better the second time?
No, definitely not.
It's not. I mean, I quite like the first one. The second one isn't a patch on it.
No, definitely not. So,
although it does have that scene with the lesbians, which is
Christmas lesbians.
I tell you what, this Christmas podcast is all over the place, isn't it?
Nothing wrong with lesbians.
Well, certainly not those lesbians. I don't even think they were lesbians, to be honest.
Do you think? Really? Do you think?
I think that the wool was being pulled over our eyes.
So those are the two films. Home Alone and American Pie 2. The two films I've seen
and
twice.
Of the two, which was better?
Home Alone.
Definitely.
Yeah, Home Alone is still enjoyable. The bit where, you know, he gets the paper cutouts to dance, so it looks like there's a party going on.
It is actually quite a good... I think I remember... My memories of it have been tainted by all the shtick it's got over the years, and particularly the ever-diminishing returns of the sequels.
Yeah, and I think if you forget the sequels, and Macaulay Culkin's subsequent career, and just construct... It's just a great kids' film, in the sense that it's got that kind of fantasy of being left alone as a kid, and setting all traps for burglars,
And also every parent's worry of leaving one of their kids behind.
Yeah, fair enough the first time. The second time, that child should have been taken into care.
Yeah.
Really.
Really. Yes, definitely. There was a lawsuit waiting to happen.
And it's got the old man, the sad old man. Who's
should be a sad old man is a staple of every Christmas film, isn't it?
It's brilliant. And... Well, my godson, as he calls it, the boy in the house. Because come on, I watch the boy in the house.
See, that sounds like a decidedly macabre remake.
It does. But the great thing about the film is, right, ever since, it's just whenever we were talking about, I don't know, a group of friends and someone, we've realised we've forgotten someone, I instantly imagine them at home by themselves, like running around as criminals catch them and like paint, tins of paint going into the criminals' faces and then going, yes! And then perhaps put an aftershave on their faces and then screaming.
Oh, God, yeah, that was actually quite funny, that bit.
It's good. It's a really good children's film. I mean, perhaps not as much fun as an adult,
yeah.
But children love it.
Yeah, brilliant. It's good. I think as a kid, my main memory of it was the fact, I think, blimey, they've got an enormous house.
Yeah, I know.
It's
huge.
Yeah. You know, you kind of grow up in like little houses in London and you're like, they've got just rooms for everything.
Yeah. You see, do you think that most people in America surely don't live like that?
Well, no.
I know there's more room.
Yeah.
And I suppose in the small towns and countryside, that you're more likely to have a larger...
Well, I remember when I was living in Japan, like most of the Americans found it really difficult to kind of adapt to living in, or at least initially, to adapt to living in one room apartments.
Did they live in those capsule hotels when you were there for
2 years? No. Oh. But, you know, most of the places we lived in Japan were just kind of like basically two rooms, the kitchen and a kind of bedroom slash kind of thing. Most of the Americans I live, I think they found it quite difficult because they were used to much bigger space, whereas I guess houses in the UK are much smaller.
Yes, the average person who did that was probably a slightly better off American, simply because they wanted to travel, they wanted to live abroad.
No, not necessarily. Yeah, I think just generally, just because they've got more space, houses are much cheaper.
Yeah, I guess so.
Land is cheap.
I guess you get probably more for your money. But I imagine there were plenty of Americans who watched it. Because I think in our heads, we think, oh, Americans live in... the Empire State Building, or in massive houses like that. And that, there must be thousands of, millions upon Americans who live in tiny apartments.
Totally.
Tiny flats or whatever.
Yeah, definitely. I think it is a skewed vision of America. Mm, but I do remember as a kid watching all these American films.
Amazing,
Like E.T., they had a massive house. And a fridge the size of my car. It was
Coca-Cola on taps. I drove yellow cabs everywhere, all wearing cowboy hats.
Crazy. Anyway, number 7. This is, I insisted that this was placed on the list. I don't think, Ian, you're a big fan.
Oh, okay. It's just, I would say, okay, I'll hold my hands up. This is one of those films I'm always like, oh, God. And then if it's on, I will get drawn into it, and by the end, I'm bawling my eyes out. Because it is one of those things that you can't help. But, and there are weak parts of it. We should tell what it is. It's Love Actually.
Love Actually. Number 7, Love
Actually.
Or as
I imagine, before I saw it, I said, is there a bit where someone says to Hugh Grant as Prime Minister, Prime Minister, why are you doing this? And he just says, Love Actually. That's where they got it from. I don't think he does that, does he?
No, he says, actually is love at one point.
So close.
Yeah. But I mean, it's a real heartwarming kind of film. And it's the kind of film you want to watch at
it's
Christmas.
Got some really weak bits. I think the whole bit with, what's his name? Colin Firth.
Let's just call him Colin.
Colin. Colin Firth's character, where he's sort of getting off with the Portuguese waitress. Is it Portuguese waitress? Something like that.
Oh, I thought that was good, that bit.
Oh, that's because you want to be a writer, and when you think, oh, when I'm middle-aged, will I get off with a 20-year-old Portuguese waitress? That's why.
Well, yes.
I mean, obviously, Richard Curtis is sitting there thinking, yeah, an awkward British middle-aged writer, very attractive, this hot,
and
sexy young waitress.
To be honest, Colin Firth really rocks that Christmas jumper. I've never seen anyone make a Christmas jumper look as good as Colin Firth in that film. So, I mean, he gets respect.
Are you sure
from
you're
me.
Not confusing that with Bridget Jones's Diary, where he wears a Christmas jumper?
Oh, well, two films where he wears Christmas jumpers. He rocks both of them.
And the King's Speech? I don't know. I bet
King's
that,
Speech.
You know what?
Don't think the King's Speech.
Do you know what? I bet that will become a staple of Christmas film. I bet that will be a film that's always shown at Christmas. Because it's the sort of thing that older people will enjoy.
Yeah.
It has, you know, it's all oldie worldie and feel good. I bet you that turns into a Christmas staple.
Well, it's a good film.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
No. I think
it is very good.
In Love Actually, I think the strong or the most amusing bit is with Bill Nighy's character.
That's good. With I forget what's the name, Greg. Oh, I can't remember the guy who played Rabsy Nesbitt.
Yeah. It's a kind of a manager.
Gregor Fisher, I think his name is.
Handler manager.
Yeah.
That's quite a sweet story. And funny enough, I was talking to at work about Love Actually, and a girl just said, "Oh, I just can't stand Keira Knightley in it." And I was like, "That's it." But it's one. It's because it's I don't know, would you say a portemieu or a magazine style film?
It works all right because she's not in it very much.
No.
If it was the whole film was about her, then it might be a bit flat. But
you see, my favourite bit is just with Hugh Grant as Prime Minister. going up and down up and down the street trying to find Martine McCutcheon's house. Yeah. And he just knocks on that old lady's door. And she's like, "You're the Prime Minister." He goes, "Yes, and we're knocking on everyone's door for Christmas. New policy." She's like, "Oh, right." I love that idea. Every Christmas, the Prime Minister would just have to go out and knock on everyone's door. It's like, "Well, Merry Christmas."
How's things been this year?
yeah, it'd be great. He should do that. He should have to pick one town where he just knocks on every single door and goes, "Oh, so how are things for you then?" Not stage managed, no cameras, just have talking to people.
Yeah, that would be great.
Let's introduce it. Let's force our Prime Minister to do that.
Definitely.
And have a mince pie and sherry in every place. So by the end, he's off his face, vomiting mince pies everywhere.
Yes, let's definitely do that. That sounds like a perfect Christmas. Oh, dear. Okay, let's move on. Number six is The Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh, we've done this.
Which we've done. We've done extensively.
Can you pause this podcast, listen to last week's podcast, then play this again?
Yeah, definitely.
You've done that? Brilliant, isn't it? It's good.
Yeah, it's a good film. We're not going to talk about it because we've talked about it loads already.
Yeah, we have.
It is very good. Number five is your recommendation.
My recommendation, yes. Elf.
The Wolf.
Elf. Elf, Governor.
Why have you got a lot of
into that? I said,
it's not even a British film.
Because it sounds a bit like Health, but said by someone from East London. Elf. Elf, I think it has become a modern Christmas classic. Funny, sweet, but has Will Ferrell in very good kind of form. It has a sort of certain... Cynicism is the wrong word. I suppose knowing, yet it's still sweet and schmaltzy and everything you want in a Christmas film. It's not being ironic. It's still celebrating. Yeah, it's still celebrating the niceness of Christmas. I mean, and that's in the film because Will Ferrell plays the elf, and he's so naive, and his kind of naivety sells it. So it's even that the characters around him are quite cynical and they're like, "Oh, why are you being like this? Oh, it's Christmas, just a time to shift stuff. It's a marketing, blah, blah, blah." But because of his naivety, because he just brings an innocence to it, it just makes it really funny and also makes just a really sweet film. So you've not seen it?
No, I have seen it. Yeah,
you have seen it.
Yeah, I think it's it's okay. I don't think I like it quite as much as you.
Oh, really?
I think it's just because I find Will Ferrell, when he's really in full-on mode, just a bit annoying.
Yeah.
And I kind of really like him when he plays it a bit more understated. Like in The Other Guys, I really enjoyed that because he's not completely kind of guns out, you know, Will Ferrell turned up to, you know, 11.
Yeah.
I think in this film, he really, really goes over the top in some places and it just starts to grate with me. But I do appreciate it. It is a good film. It's definitely one of the better Christmas films, so I'm quite pleased it's in the top 10.
Yeah.
But I don't think I like it quite as much as you.
Fair enough. Vive la défense.
Vive la défense.
For the French. It's very good. For our French listeners out there.
Okay, shall we take a break and do our Christmas presents?
Okay, yeah, right, yeah. So, yeah, we're over halfway, so we're that's a funny place to pause. So we've done six, and we're leaving the top four.
Top four, yeah, top four.
Okay, all right. Right, so, Lewis, Merry Christmas.
Oh, thank you, Ian. Oh, this is very nicely wrapped. To Lou, love, Ian. That's very good. Okay, I'm going to open it up. Ooh, what's this? Oh, nice. He's got me The Third Man, the double disc special edition.
Not the most Christmas gift film, but a film we want to do, want to cover. Definitely. Neither of us has seen this.
Oh, I'm looking forward to watching this one. Yeah, that's very good.
I've read the book.
You? What did you think of the book?
The book, Graham Greene opens the book by saying, "Yeah, I wouldn't really bother reading this because really I just wrote this to get the film made." So he just says, yeah, so lots of it's different. The definitive version is the film.
Yeah.
But it's quite interesting to read the book. I bought the book when I went to Vienna. So as I went to Vienna, because it's set in Vienna. So I read the book while I was in Vienna.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I think we've mentioned this before, but I think Graham Greene's books, often they make better films.
So there you go. Merry Christmas.
Oh, thank you. That's really good.
So we can watch that
together. That's really good.
So where's mine then?
Okay, here it is. Okay, so I've got a little bit of an explanation here. Unfortunately, Mr. Amazon has failed me.
No. So, what's happened to Santa?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, Santa's been a bit delayed. I put my order with Santa about over nearly 2 weeks ago now, and unfortunately, Santa hasn't arrived with his reindeer.
Oh, he's cocked it up.
Yeah, he has cocked it up. So,
did you get an email notification?
I didn't get an email notification from Santa saying that my delivery had just been dispatched.
So, what have I got instead?
So, what I've done is I've got a little envelope here, and I've drawn a representation of the present that I've bought you. It's a DVD.
Right, okay.
So you have to guess from the representation what film it is.
Oh, that's a good game. Right, so I've got a... just... Okay, let me just open this up. Okay, it is... It's a picture of a man in, it looks like high-heeled boots, the way you've drawn it, a nappy and a cross and holding a gun. He's got a moustache and he's saying, "Surely some mistake." And there's a giant head, which also looks like it's got a moustache, and it says, "The gun is good, the penis is evil." Is it Zardo?
Zardoz, yes, it's Zardoz. Well done. The Sean Connery classic.
Well, I'm looking forward to that. I might take this to work and scan this so we can put it on the blog. I will do that. I will take that to work and scan it.
It's good, yes. So the John Borman sci-fi classic, Zardoz, which I think you actually will enjoy. I remember watching it as a kind of... As a child, yeah, and thinking, what the hell is this all about?
Do they have the line, "The gun is good, the penis is evil"?
Yes, they
really?
Do. The gun is good, the penis is evil.
Wow.
Yeah, Merry Christmas.
Well, neither of us are giving each other a particularly Christmassy film. It's like a classic film noir thing about setting post-war Vienna. Yeah.
A celebrated British noir charting post-war European malaise.
Merry Christmas, everybody!
That's good.
Well, thank you very much, Lewis.
And likewise. Thank you very much.
And listeners, if you want to send in your presents to us, just send them to the usual P.O. Box address. You could send in pictures of you doing something Christmassy. Oh, no, that's opening the floodgates.
Oh, my goodness. No, definitely don't do that. Definitely do not do that. We don't want unsolicited images.
Well, it depends. It depends who's sending them.
Moving on. Okay, coming in at number four. Now, this is a classic.
Yes, and it's funny. In our top four, we've got two films with the same plot, essentially.
The best plot.
Based on the same film.
Yeah.
They're based on the same source story. We have The Muppet Christmas Carol.
The Muppet Christmas Carol. This is such a good film. We were watching some clips of it earlier just to remind ourselves of it, and God.
Great thing about it, Michael Caine plays it absolutely straight.
Yes.
That's what sells the film.
Yeah.
He's surrounded by silly Muppets, but he's playing Scrooge as if it is in a full human being production. That's a strange way to describe a film. It's all humans in this one. Yeah, he just does it completely straight and it totally sells you on the film.
Yeah.
So the Muppets can Muppet around and be in Muppety. And then... And then you just got Michael Caine. It's one of his best roles.
Yeah, he's been in some cracking films, Michael Caine. He's been in some dross as well.
Absolutely terrible.
But yeah, when he's good, he's really good. And he's fantastic in this film.
Yeah, and it's got some great songs. It's got some just silly, funny stuff.
Yeah. Incidentally, we were looking up songs earlier, and I have to put a mention out to Rolf the Dog's version of... what's that Christmas song?
Have yourself a merry little Christmas
with John Denver.
With John Denver,
it actually almost moved me to tears.
Have a look on YouTube just to see John Denver's face as he just John Denver's face just looking at Rolf the the dog Muppet on the piano.
He's no Michael Caine. He can't hide his contempt for the puppet.
Well, you know, he's frightened that it's going to be. But he's definitely being upstaged by Rolf.
Oh, definitely, yeah. It's actually genuinely a really good Christmas song, so yeah.
Anyway. It can't be in a bit of Muppets.
Okay, number three is...
Oh, this is a sad one.
Walking in the air.
The Snowman. This one always... I can remember still being at my aunt's. I must have only been about four or five, and it being on and just watching The Snowman. It's just sad, isn't it?
Oh, but It's sad, but it's uplifting.
At the end.
But he'll be back next year. Oh, that's the subtext.
And then the little boy, and he hugs Santa Claus, or Father Christmas, as it is really.
Yeah, that's it's Father Christmas.
It's Father Christmas, you Americans. Santa Claus, it's Father Christmas.
And definitely not Kris Kringle. I don't know where that came from.
And of course, launched the career of...
David Bowie.
David Bowie, yes. Yeah. Who now presents the Songs of Praise. Ali Jones, of
Ali
course,
Jones,
the,
yeah.
the Welsh wonder, which no one has ever called him until now. But it's just a great. Based on a Raymond Briggs book.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen? Did they make a film of Father Christmas?
They did. Yes.
Did they? I've
it's good, but
it.
It's not as good as the cinema.
No. I think the Snowman is just it's the music of the Snowman.
Yeah.
And
it's a classic. It's only 30 minutes long or something.
Oh, well, that makes it even better. We should do it. We should do it for sure. The film, the better. Yeah. Also, now we're in the top two.
Top two. Okay, you can probably guess at least one of these.
Yeah,
so,
I'm probably, knowing our age and probably the films we've picked so far, you probably guess what's going to be number one. But number two is 1946's...
It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah.
Frank Capra classic.
Now, were you a bit like me? Did you only see this relatively recently, within the last like 6 or 7 years? Because I think I only saw it probably... I mean, I saw bits and bobs, but I think it was only sort of about, 2003, 2004, when I actually sat down and properly watched it.
Yeah, I know. I remember I bought it on VHS, so it must have been, I don't know.
1854.
Yeah. But yeah, I saw it relatively late, certainly in my mid to late 20s.
Yeah, I don't think you would have, you would have, as a child, have appreciated it.
No, I didn't think
what
so.
It's one of those things, actually, as you get older, it means more, because it's all about giving up things, isn't it? Mm. He gets trapped in that town.
Yeah.
And he keeps trying to escape and things keep holding him back.
Yeah.
I mean, he can't even kill himself.
Yeah.
Every time he tries to get out, something stops him.
Yeah.
And even when he tries to kill himself, something stops him from killing himself.
It's a bit like The Truman Show.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's very interesting. It's a really interesting theme because I think everyone has that thing where your pressures, the pressures of work and the pressures of family and the pressures of commitment just end up kind of ruling your life and you no longer can do what you want to do as a person.
Yeah.
However, you kind of fail to realise that those things that you're committed to are actually your achievements.
And also you've done all that for a reason.
Yeah, exactly.
Because actually that life is fulfilling and obviously grass is always greener, so we always think, if we hadn't.
Yeah.
I don't know why we're saying all this. Neither of us have got children, so we're not like, oh, I feel trapped. What's holding me back?
Yeah, well, it'll come to
my
all
extensive
of us.
DVD collection.
Exactly.
I can't leave. I'll have to put this into storage.
Yeah. But yeah, it's a great film. It's a fantastic feel-good film, and everyone should watch it at some point.
Yeah, yeah, it is. And what's the bit that always gets you? What's the bit that makes you like...
Oh, every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings.
Not that bit. I don't care about that bit. I think it's the bit where he saves when he's a little boy and he's working in the chemist, and the chemist accidentally gives that person the wrong medication. And the chemist tells him off, and he's like, oh, but you did that. And he suddenly realises, he's like, I'm sorry, I shouted. That's the kind of upset.
Yeah, that's it. And the other thing I'm thinking of as well is where he saves his little brother from the ice, and doesn't he damage his hearing or something?
Something about that, yeah.
I thought that was quite moving. But yeah, I mean,
because that's why he doesn't fight in the war, isn't that?
Yes, I mean, he's damaged his hearing and that's why he can't go away.
Yeah.
Yeah, another reason why he's trapped.
Yeah, that's another reason he's trapped. Yeah, that's it, yeah. Yeah, because his brother is the one who goes to war and he saves like a boatload of people, doesn't he? Because that's the other thing.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, so that's it has the impact.
Yeah, great film. Really, really good film. And watch it.
Yeah.
Watch it.
Yeah.
I kind of ran out of words to say. I kind of was winding down.
And number one.
Number one.
Number one. Oh. Well, you can probably guess at home what our number one Christmas film is going to be. Probably because of our age, our sensibility, kind of films we enjoy. It's got to be Scrooged.
Scrooged.
Scrooged. Oh. Bill Murray.
Absolute classic film. Probably his funniest film, I think.
Yeah.
Up there, it's either this one or Ghostbusters.
88. Now, this actually, when this was released, it didn't do that well. It was considered a bit of a flop. It didn't do terribly badly, but it didn't get massively good reviews. People thought, oh, you know, Bill Murray's on the wane. It's not, you know, consistently funny all the way through. But I think sometimes those films sort of work better on the small screen than they do on the large screen.
Yeah.
And actually, a film like that...
Especially because it's a film all about TV. So watching TV has a
true,
certain...
True, yeah. Yeah, definitely, yeah. You know. And so, I guess it's all about... it's, you know, not particularly demanding as well, and that's kind of what you want at Christmas time.
Yeah.
Whereas if you've gone to the cinema and you sat down, you're really concentrating on it. But just having it on TV in the background, I feel like I'm kind of slagging it off, but I don't really mean to. I mean, it's good. Great. It's a good Christmas film for that reason. Yeah, and it also has some really, really funny bits.
Yeah. We watched earlier, there's someone's done a clip on YouTube of the 10 best bits from Scrooge, and I highly recommend watching it, because I've forgotten how good some of the bits
are. Well, just some, there's some, yeah, all, it's, so many of the people in it are just real kind of like classic 80s. The bloke from Police Academy, that guy.
It's a good impression. I forgot his name now.
What is his name? What's her name? Carol Kane as the ghost of Christmas present.
Carol Kane is amazing.
So good. That whole bit is just genius. Funny.
She's just this kind of sweet fairy like ghost of Christmas present. Past.
Yeah, no, it's present.
Christmas present. Yeah, you're right. And for some reason, to make people travel to different places, she has to punch them in the face.
Yeah, just keeps smacking them and hitting them.
The bit where she hits him with the toaster has got to be one of the funniest bits in cinema history. It just makes me laugh every time.
And the ghost of Christmas present is the kind of New York cab driver.
No, he's the past. Christmas past.
Oh, sorry, yeah, past.
You're confusing me
now.
Yeah,
sorry, yeah. Yeah, the Christmas past. And,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. Go back to New Jersey!
Yeah. And the ghost of Christmas future is genuinely quite scary.
Yeah,
I remember being a bit younger and finding that whole bit quite frightening. Especially when he kind of looms up behind him. He kind of looms up from a bank of televisions.
Yeah, that's right.
And he
sort
of looms up and gets close. And it freaked me out.
Yeah, definitely. Likewise.
And the beginning, kind of, they sort of show a trailer for Bill Murray characters, I suppose like a really hyper-violent version of Scrooge. And it's just the most ridiculous kind of over-the-top, bombastic 1980s kind of like, acid rain, drive-by shootings, dun, 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 yeah. And that freaked me out a bit as a kid. I remember watching that, and actually being quite frightened as well.
I like the acid rain thing with this melting umbrella. Yeah.
I feel quite creepy. It's just a...
I think for a while I really did think that was the reality of acid rain.
Yeah.
That I couldn't go out in the rain because it might melt my umbrella.
Well, really bad acid rain could be like that. In tune of volcanic eruptions, you could get acid rain. That's that.
Oh,
bad.
Don't scare me. This is meant to be Christmas.
This is great. Acid rain. We've covered, add it to the list of Christmas stuff we've covered in our Christmas special.
Classic lines in Scrooge, though. What is it? I've never liked a girl enough to give her 12 sharp knives. I mean, that's got to be a
which is even funnier, because earlier on I was showing you the knife that a previous girlfriend bought me for...
I wondered how long it would take before your ex-girlfriends came up in this podcast.
Well, they're all here, aren't they?
They're all here.
Hi, girls!
They're forming a choir.
Dear. Kurt's all over one of them.
Dear.
The best one.
And we'll reveal which one that is
in next year's Christmas special. Oh, well, that tickled me. Yeah, so Scrooged. Good.
I can see your brain was in another place then. Oh, dear. Anyway, so that brings us to the end of our top 10 Christmas films. Hope you enjoyed it. I'm sure probably in your sofas or on the train, you're probably screaming at the MP3 playing device going, I can't believe you missed out. Name a film here.
Okay, I will guarantee you no one is screaming right now. No one is screaming. Probably no one's got to this point of the podcast. They've got about half.
Oh, we can say what we like then.
yeah.
Should we just knock off early?
Yeah. We'll just have the theme tune just playing on loop for the last 5 minutes, because that's the best bit of the night. Everyone loves that. Well, of course, we promised it last week.
Oh, right, yes.
Yeah, and it's here.
Oh, he's picked it up. Here we go. Ian's Ukulele Challenge.
The Ukulele Challenge.
I missed it last week, I've got to say. It was lacking a certain something.
It was lacking an awkward ukulele challenge.
Yeah, definitely.
A terrible, terrible
wait
version.
For you to play the ukulele really badly every week. It's the highlight of my week.
So, originally I was thinking of doing a Christmas song that was perhaps featured heavily in a Christmas film. And then I realised that I couldn't play any of those. So then I desperately started to look through Christmas songs and try and work out at least one Christmas song I could play. And I couldn't really do that either. So we've gone to the one that I've kind of come closest to perhaps almost playing.
I love this.
Which is Last Christmas by Wham.
Classic.
It must feature in a...
Let's just say it features in a Christmas film. This song was huge. When I was living in Japan, this was huge, Last Christmas. This is like the karaoke song that everyone knows.
Really?
Yeah.
That's strange.
Yeah. It's really
why.
Big.
I guess maybe just because of George Michael. Perhaps he was quite big in Japan.
Don't know. But anyway, yeah, it's whenever you... Everyone always does it at karaoke. No matter how badly they can sing.
Okay, well, let's have a look. Let's try and do it. Oh, dear.
Do you want me to do the singing again?
Yeah, I'll try and sing as well.
Okay. Good luck.
Okay. All right, so I'm just going to do the kind of opening bit, the intro. Oh,
okay.
And then kick in after the first cycle. So I'll go C, and for those of you playing at home, C, A minor, D minor, G, then C. Okay, so.
I don't know why you told them that.
Last Christmas, gave you my heart, but the very next day, you gave it away. This year, to save me from tears, I'll give it to someone special.
Special.
Last Christmas, I gave you my heart, but the very next day, you gave it away. This year, to save me from tears, I'll give it to someone
special.
Once bitten, twice shy, I keep my distance, but you still catch my eye. Tell me, baby, do you recognize me? Well, it's been a year, it doesn't surprise me. Happy Christmas, I wrapped it up and sent it with a note saying I love you, I meant it. Now I know what a fool I've been. But if you kiss me now, I'd never fool you again.
A crowded room.
Last Christmas, I gave you my heart, but the very next day, you gave it away. This year, to save me from tears, I give it to someone special.
Special.
Last Christmas, I gave you my heart, but the very next day, you gave it away. This year, to save me from tears, I give it to someone special.
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 Perfect. Perfect. That was even better than in rehearsal.
Okay, run from the top. Wow. What a great week. We both, during that, we tried to sing two different choruses, two different verses.
It was good. I was singing a completely different key from you. I don't know what key the ukulele was in, but it certainly wasn't the same one as the song.
Well,
that was
Merry
good.
Christmas,
Merry Christmas,
everyone at
everyone.
Home. You know, Lewis, when it comes to this time of year, it's easy to forget what's important. You know, you get wrapped up in trying to, I don't know, eat as many Terry chocolate oranges as we can.
Oh, I do like Terry's chocolate oranges.
Oh, they are nice, aren't they?
If Terry's are listening, please send us some chocolate oranges.
Yes, try and list a load of products. Or what Mr. Amazon is bringing us.
Yeah,
Amazon.
Where's my bloody present?
But the truth of it is, the most important thing to remember is being slumped in front of the telly with too much food inside you, too much drink, and just watching a good Christmas film.
Is that the meaning of Christmas?
Yes, it is. That's the meaning of Christmas. For the purposes of this podcast and this series, that's the true... Like, when we used to do 101 video games that made my life slightly better, the true meaning was to play computer games. Now it's to watch a good Christmas film.
It's good. And on that note, a Merry Christmas to everyone.
Yeah, everyone at home. And not at home on the bus or whatever. And if you're listening to this after Christmas, I'm sorry, it just sounds depressing, doesn't it, when you listen to this after Christmas. So hopefully you're listening to it before. Merry Christmas, everybody!
Merry Christmas! Bye!
Bye! Remember that Christmas film which had Lenny Henry playing a genie?
No.
And it's got what's his face? Who's the guy from The High Life?
oh God, yeah.
He's a Nightcrawler in X-Men 2.
Yeah.
Alan Cummings. Alan Cummings, that's it. Yeah. And it's him and Lenny Henry. Oh, that's cold.
Oh my God, we might have to put this in next year's Christmas special.
It's good. Yes,
is it?
Yeah, it is quite
is
good.
It?
Yeah, it's good.
Is it?
Yes, it is good. I remember it being quite good.
Why is it not shown at Christmas?
That's true. I don't know why. I just remember
Maybe
Lenny
it was
Henry.
Too racist.